Amen. All right. So I'm going to quickly review our excellence from last week. So if you'd open it up, get a chance to catch up. We'll start on page one. And so we opened up with our scripture in Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. And this I pray, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent. Everybody say excellence. That you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and the praise of God. The Amplified gives us a little bit more enlightenment. It says, so you may surely learn and sense and vital and approve and prize what is excellent and of real value, recognizing the highest and the best and distinguishing the moral differences, that you may be untainted and pure and unerring and blameless, so that with hearts sincere and certain and unsullied, you may approach the day of Christ, not stumbling nor causing others to stumble. How many know we're supposed to be getting better and better as we go forth? Now let's turn to Daniel chapter 6, because this is where we get this phrase, excellence, we're kind of starting, springboarding from. Daniel chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. I'm reading out of the New King James. And it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one. So Daniel was one of the three governors over these satraps who were over smaller areas. So that the satraps might give account to them, so that the king would not suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps. Why? Because of an excellent spirit. An excellent spirit was in him. Everybody say excellent spirit. All right. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. He had an excellent spirit. And so we said this is a key to promotion. Now, when you look at the phrase excellence, we want to think promotion, productivity, right? And profitability and power. Now, we want to emphasize the promotion aspect, because that means increased advancement and those kinds of things. So what we said last week, just in review, we don't have to attend the school of hard knocks in order to gain wisdom and find success. And of course, it's important to understand that the Old Testament stories, as outlined in 1 Corinthians 10, 11, 1 through 11, says that the lives of the Old Testament saints were recorded as examples for us. So we must take the time to learn their life lessons from their life, both good and bad. So why? So we can avoid some of the pain that comes with learning through trial and error. The pain that comes through trial and error. So in the book of Daniel, we see Daniel had and his the three Hebrew friends gained promotion in an evil, ungodly society. So with excellence, you can gain promotion anywhere. Like these three friends, Daniel was promoted because he had an excellent spirit. Now, we said this phrase, excellent spirit, it only appears in the book of Daniel. The concept is found throughout the Bible, but the word spirit isn't talking about someone's makeup like spirit, soul, and body. It's referring to an attitude. Everybody say an attitude. So it's an attitude of Christ-likeness. It's an attitude of humility. It's an attitude of faithfulness. And so you'll see that concept throughout the Bible. So Jesus often spoke of having an importance of having an excellent spirit. In Luke 16:10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. So your test is in small things. Your test typically is in small beginnings. And so it's important to do that. We see the parable of the sower that we got the scripture reference there, Matthew 25, 14 through 30, that the one guy had five talents, one started off with two, one had one. The other two were productive, were profitable, were promoted. You see what I'm saying? So we're talking about the excellent spirit. What gets you promoted? Everybody say excellence. And so when we say excellence, we're talking about how to pursue an excellent spirit. An excellent spirit gets you promoted, makes you profitable, productive, highly productive, and powerful. So this is a key for us individually and collectively. Everybody with me? Okay, so and so we saw one person wasn't promoted. He was actually demoted. He got his talent taken away from him. And I want to submit to you that it was the servant's attitude that got him fired. And we see the same thing happening in the life of David and Joseph in the scriptures. Zechariah 4:10, if you want to turn there, but it basically says, don't despise the day of small beginnings. Because it's a choice we make to either walk around and serve with a constant state of conflict and tension, because we envision what we see is different than what we see in the natural. So you can't look at things as now they look small or now they look insignificant, and you despise that because you have visions of grandeur or greatness, which is okay. That's okay. You should have good visions that are birthed by God in your spirit that tells you, hey, God has good plans for you. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that. Isn't that right? He has plans to prosper you, to increase you, to make you a success going somewhere to happen. Isn't that good? And so you have to understand that. But see, what the challenge is, your attitude. How is your attitude when things are little? When things are behind the scenes, how is your attitude in the areas where things are small? And so Zechariah 4:10 tells us that. Don't despise the day of small beginning. It's asking you a question because the choice is yours. Everybody say, the choice is mine. All right. And will you despise small beginnings, as we put there? New beginnings, small local ministry, when we want big ministry. What's our attitude? And we said, what is your mindset, mental attitude like when no one's looking, or when you have to minister to one or two people? And we've often said this, it is so important to understand and ascertain that an excellent spirit must be engendered and enjoyed even when you have small things. Even you have to minister only one person, because it's a privilege and an honor, and God's checking you out. He's saying, will you talk to that person or minister to that person like they're the last person on earth for you to minister to before you go to heaven? I'm just using that as an example or illustration. How would you minister to someone if, you know, like we said, even in a situation, you're teaching a class and you only have two people? Well, do you prepare? Do you engage those two people like it was 2,000? Because see, as we said in the handout, people like big stage, right? Status or success, but they forget the kingdom true promotion process is preceded by stooping to serve, by sacrificing to sow, by submitting to support others. Will you give it all you got to two people? Remember, the principle is, if you're faithful with what? That which is least, the little. So God says, minister to those two people. Well, I want 200 people, Lord. I'm gonna wait to turn it up and step it up when it's 200 people or 2,000 people. You'll never step it up. If you can't stoop to serve two people, you're actually despising small beginnings or small ministry. Okay, is that everybody good? So, though the temptation to give less than our best is there, God is calling us to be faithful. Now, just think about it. When you serve in any capacity for the Lord, it's either privately in your personal sphere of influence or publicly, like in a church, corporate setting, or whatever. How is your preparation? When you only expect, I'm going to see the same people, or, you know, it's going to be pretty much how I normally see it, do you still step up and prep up and pray up and build yourself up? If you were serving tonight or helping tonight, let's just put it right where we live, right in our lap. How much did you pray before you came to church? Oh, praise the Lord. I'm not talking about praying when you get to church. Because usually when you're praying when you get to church, when you pray, you wait until you get to church to pray, you're already behind schedule. You're behind preparation. Because you were ill-prepared or didn't prepare, let's just put it that way, and so God can't really use you. Because, see, prayer enables God to build. Prayer is a God enabler. You bring God on the scene. When you do things without praying, then you're saying basically what? God, I don't need you to prepare. I got this. I got it up here. I know what to do. And then what comes with the attitude of a spirit of excellence is the anointing. Amen? And all around faithfulness. So you can say the big A's of an excellent spirit is an attitude, the anointing, and all around faithfulness. That means I'll be faithful if it's just moving the chair in the right spot. If I have to sweep up the carpet or vacuum the carpet, you don't sweep up the carpet, but well, unless you vacuum the carpet, I'm excellent in that. I'm excellent in my setup and in my preparation. I'm hooked up with the Holy Spirit who tells me, shows me things to come, and who's telling me this is what I need to do to be of great service to the Lord and to other people, even though I might be standing at the door greeting, shaking hands. I'm not coming in, showing up, and expecting to blow up when I show up. That's not an excellent spirit. Y'all don't get quiet on me now. Amen? Because at the top of the outline, we said, let's step up. Everybody say, let's step it up. So if you're going to sing on Sunday morning, how much do you sing in private? But it's not preparing to sing only. It's preparing your heart to minister. So if you don't prepare your heart to minister, you can sing and be noise, but not a voice. You'll be noise, but not a voice. In other words, you'll mimic words, you'll throw out the genre, you'll sound, you know, whatever your talent level lets you sound as. But your heart's not there. Your attitude's not there. You're not a worshiper at home, and it shows up. You don't give the Lord your vessel to praise through you. Come on now, to allow praise come, to practice the presence of God on your own time. Well, you come out of that overflow because you had an attitude, Lord, I'm going to praise you every day. And so when I get up Sunday, I'm just praising out of the overflow. I'm not just praising based on the songs I know. I'm praising out of the overflow. Amen? So how much do you prepare? Amen. glory to God? How much do you pray? Remember, prayer enables God to build. He builds you first. He builds you up first. Then you will help be used by him as an instrument to build others up. Amen. And you got to get built up before you build others people up. If you're broken, it's hard for God to use a broken vessel. Because you can't carry the anointing in brokenness, in a broken vessel, because it leaks. You're leaking. Well, praise God. So the temptation, like I said, is to give less than our best is there. God is calling us all to be what? Faith. So God's saying, how do you work for me? Because he's a good rewarder, right? Promotion doesn't come from the east and west. Promotion comes from where? From the Lord. And so he's looking at how are we, what is our attitude in doing ministry, even at the least smallest thing. Hallelujah. God is calling us to be faithful. Everybody say, God is calling me to be faithful. So that's tied right into that excellent spirit. So we must give TWCC, our guests, members, attendees, community, our city, et cetera, all we have. There's an old Pentecost song that used to do 99 and a half won't do. Got to give 100%. What God's only expecting what he gave. He gave us his all. He's expecting us to give him his all. Everything with our time, talent, treasure, our body, our mind, our mindset. Come on, everything. Come on now. The way we look, the way we conduct ourselves, how we yield to the person of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. He can't use you if you think you're full of you. Our attitude today will solidify excellent spirit inside of us and allow God to promote us to new places and new graces. How many want new places and new graces? So God is checking us all out. Let's just be real about it, okay? How many of us are willing to be faithful, even in the small things that no one sees? Because God looks at your time. If you spend all your time on your phone, playing games, on TV, looking at TV, and you don't give him no time, why should he make time to promote you? You don't care about his stuff more than he cares about promoting you more than you care about being promoted. Well, praise the Lord. We're not here just to do church, but to be the church. Everybody say, be the church. And so we ought to ask God, God, where do I need to be the church? We are to be ministry, not just do ministry. How many of us will keep a good attitude in the face of difficult circumstances? Now, that's where the test comes in, the faithfulness test comes. Faithfulness means has nothing to do with feelings or circumstances. It means God says, be faithful unto death. Revelation says that. That means until you die. You don't quit till you die. You can never say, I was faithful. Because faithfulness is never I was. You never were all along. If you had to say, back in the day, I was on top of my game. No, you were never on top of your game. Because God is what? God, we don't say God was faithful. God what is faithful? Jesus is called faithful and true. Even when we say, we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9. He says what? He is faithful and just to do what? Forgive us of our sins. So he never even takes one of our sins that we offer up in confession and repentance to him as unfaithful. He's watching everything that we bring to him, and he watches over his word to perform. He's faithful to perform his word. He's faithful to do what he said he's going to do. He's always there. He's always the same. He never changes. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Come on now. So you can always boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man could do to me. He is faithful. Faithful is he, Thessalonians says, who calleth you, who will also do it. The one that's calling you is faithful. So he's calling you and I, friends, to be faithful. Amen. How many of us remain true to our values and our culture and our conviction when it hurts? Because, you know, we all run into people who, perhaps have embraced different values systems or different cultures and different convictions. And especially today's very hyper-media age, and they talk bad about truth and traditional values that are biblically based. And so sometimes people smirk at that and say, well, that's not a bad deal. And people start allowing values to pollute them, other people's values. You know, like, hey, you need to get married. Living together and not getting married is not good. That's not what the Bible teaches. Amen. I'm looking down. Isn't that right? Yeah. And having a culture, a Christ-like culture, putting God first. I mean, that's instead of putting me first, you know, that kind of thing. Will we develop an excellent spirit? So an excellent spirit has to be pursued, has to be practiced, and has to be developed. So what are you doing since last Wednesday, those of you that were here last Wednesday, to develop an excellent spirit? Now, you know, excellent spirit is really not started up in me or stirred up in me if I just leave here and think church is the same. You go home, eat your bologna cheese sandwich, watch 10 o'clock news. And tomorrow you do the same old thing. Half pray, half read your Bible. Don't use your faith. Don't walk in the spirit. Don't get filled with the spirit. Don't allow the Lord to use you to minister to nobody. Your schedule stays so busy up. You've polluted with distractions. If you're not absolutely thrilled with doing a job for the Lord, being used by the Lord, we got to stir yourself up. You know, Psalmist David, as we use as one of the examples here with Joseph, they were glad to be used by God. I mean, Joseph was a little bit, you had a little bit of youthful zeal. He was telling all his visions before time, but God was using him. Now, David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house. You ought to be glad to come to church. So glad people see, man, you got a great attitude. Being in church. Don't come in and, okay, I got to serve, so I'm grumpy, I'm moody. Come on now. That's not good. If you uptight, get it right. We're not to be snapping at people or you know, chewing on people's backs. Or, amen. Y'all okay? Y'all good? All right, so we get into preparation, principles, and process in pursuit of excellence. So our challenge is to see how far we can press into greatness. Now, it is a press, but there is a prize. There is a prize of greatness, but it takes a press. It takes everyone laying down their life and for the team, for the benefit of the kingdom. Put away our agendas and then taking up his. Philippians 3:14, I press toward the goal, the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And so God wants to take us to higher realms of ministering in his power than we've ever imagined possible. And I believe he's going to do some great and mighty things in these last days. Amen. But it takes, there's a preparation process and principles and a process. Everybody say a process. A process, well, the first process is to break the power of yesterday. And so we said the principles of excellence God has given us are the basis on which we change our future and determine our outcome, the outcome of our lives. The principles of excellence found in the Bible. So we can't become an excusiologist. I know that's not a real term, but it's just a phrase I'm using. But it means we make excuses of why we don't change or we don't grow or we don't get better. So it's important that we all assume 100% of responsibility for pursuing the will of God with excellence and make no 0% excuses. Everybody say 100% responsibility, zero excuses. So we must reach beyond our yesterday. We must reach beyond our yesterday. We must refuse to allow the demons of our past and demons that we have allowed to hinder, harass, and hold us back to hold our families hold our family's bondage to hold us down. If it's running in your family, then you stop it. If it's running in your realm of influence, then you take authority over it. Do what it takes to stop the evil and to bring in the good. God will use you if you pursue an excellent spirit. If you have a great attitude, attitude that's humble, obedient, and faithful to God, to do the will of God in your generation. Numbers 14:18 just basically describes about the sins of the fathers passed down to the third and fourth generation. In other words, things can if you allow things, they will increase. So if you allow yourself to enjoy, I hate to be sound like I'm meddling tonight, but I can't help it. I know that's an old Arkansas term, but I'm sorry, but. You know, if you allow yourself to feast on flesh and faithlessness, you know, either through media or entertainment or things like that, then guess what it's going to produce? We always said about a computer, right? Garbage in, what? Garbage out. What are you putting into yourself on a daily basis? And so you have to be a faithful with your discretionary time. Lord, I'm going to give you time to get in the Word, time to pray, time to practice faith in you and walking in love. Because genetic determinism can be overcome in Christ. Titus 3:5 tells us that we've been re-engineered in Christ. And so we're all winners in Christ. Everybody say, I'm a winner in Jesus. So, but it's our choice. It is as we said, life is a series of choices, not a series of chances. We can choose to be great. We can choose to have an excellent period. It's not up to God. It's up to us. If God called us each into the ministry, into his ministry, and we haven't said yes fully with everything we've got, because, you know, some people can say half yeses. Yes, Lord, I want you to take me to heaven. I want to get a fire insurance. But I don't want to do your will. I don't want to surrender and submit to you. Right? And so we shouldn't make excuses for ourselves. So we see the illustration I've got turned to in 1 Kings 19, verse 15. Now we pick it up where God's talking, but before that, Elijah was talking. Elijah. And Elijah was complaining. Anybody ever complain? Anybody ever had the warped perception that everybody else was wrong, but you're right? It's everybody else's problem. Everybody around here in this house is lazy, except me. Yeah. And you talking to the Lord. But what are you doing? You taking God's job as a judge? Well, let me keep going. Remember, faith doesn't complain. And faithfulness never complains, because complaining is a bad attitude. It's the byproduct of a bad attitude. You complaining about your family? Why? I ain't got enough money. Well, why are you complaining about it? Doubt worries, complains, and is sad. Faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. I'll say it again. Doubt worries, complains, and is sad. Faith rejoices, gives thanks, and is glad. So stop right in just one moment and think about how much did I rejoice today, this week, Monday, Tuesday. How much did I give thanks? Was I like an addict, like an addicted thanksgiver? Thank you, Lord. Did you say thanks before you even really got going in the morning? At least 10 times in the morning before you even got going? This is practical stuff. Because God says, if you're faithful with the little things is your everyday habits. It's your everyday conversation. It's your everyday attitude. Amen. And it's glad. So I'm glad you get to use me, Lord. You telling me in my spirit, go talk to your neighbor. Go talk to that person at work. Now's the day you get to share your faith with so-and-so at work. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you again. You get to use me. I got a church full of good people. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. I'm so glad to see everybody. Not looking like I've been drugged through a dryer or something like that, and I'm upset or irritated. Bad attitude smell rotten, like rotten cheese. Well, praise the Lord. Let's keep going. Verse 15. So we see the Lord pick it up. Then the Lord said, go return to your way to wilderness. He didn't even address his complaints. He said, get up and go on to wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria, and you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Saphath, of Abel, Meholah, you shall anoint as a prophet in place. In other words, he said, get up, get moving, and I'm telling you to start preparing your replacement, your successor. And it shall be that whosoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill, and whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. So he answered his complaint. He said, I'm the only one left serving you, Lord. If you read the other part, I'm the only one serving you left. Because he was telling Elijah, where you at? He said he was in a cave running from Jezebel's threats. Because he thought, I'm in this by myself. So one of the first acts of behavior, typically when you think that it's all about me, I got to do this, is self-defense. And then right after that is blame transference. In other words, you start telling people that it's other people's fault why I'm in this situation. Nobody's serving God, Lord. I'm the only one out here that you're using. No, you're not. So he's complaining. He had a warped perspective. Why? Because he's got discouraged, which is a bad attitude. So complaining is a bad attitude, and being discouraged is a bad attitude. Remember David's statement, Psalms 122:1. I was glad when they said unto me. He just heard the word. Let's go to church. Let's go to the house of the Lord. He was encouraged. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You must all, so you shouldn't make excuses for yourself if you haven't said yes completely to the Lord. Now, I know I said should, but it should be should not in there. So we must always remember that there's no future in your past. You see, choices are a lordship issue. If you still dilly-dallying with to say, yes, Lord, I will obey. Yes, Lord, I trust you. Then it's a lordship issue. It means you haven't put Jesus as Lord over that area. If you still have to struggle with, am I going to pay my tithes or not? It's a lordship issue. Am I going to help and volunteer and be usable to the Lord anytime, anywhere, any way? Then that's a lordship issue. So God must be first in your life, right? If he's first in your life, then he means he is first in how you choose to spend your time. That means that his call, his plan and purpose for your life is the course you choose to pursue. His call, his plan, his purpose. You don't get to choose. You choose what he chosen. Now keep your finger, well, you don't have to keep your finger here in 1 Kings. Let's turn to 1 Samuel. Let me show you something, another thing. I'm hearing this tone of voice looks I'm getting. So let's look at something. Look at something else. Let's look at a very powerful scripture. And I believe it's in 1 Samuel 2. Let's just see if it's in here. Let me see if it's in here. Or it might be in 2 Samuel. Hang on. Let me find it. Let me try to find it. Just a minute. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, see if it's in here. Oh, yeah, it is. 1 Samuel 2:30. 1 Samuel 2:30. Let's look at these. Therefore, the Lord, the God of Israel, says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me, how long? Forever. So God doesn't change. When he calls you, he doesn't take it back. Okay? But now, the Lord says, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me will be lightly, what? Esteemed. This is a powerful verse, so if you have a Bible you can highlight or underline, please do that one. That's a really powerful one. That runs through the theme, like a theme throughout the Bible. Now, some people say, well, what was he talking about? Well, look at it in context in verse 29. Why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offering, which I've commanded in my dwelling place? You honor your sons more than me. Now, here's something. Don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me. Everybody say, I don't get mad at Pastor. This is where people say, well, family's first. No, it's not. I got one amen. And the rest of y'all looking at me like, what did he do? Went crazy. Who's first? Who's first? So when it comes between God and your family, who you pick first? So we got to stop my family. Who's first? Because he said, why do you sacrifice for your family? And you don't do it for me. Come on now. He said, you honor your sons more than me and make yourself fat with the best of all offerings of Israel, my people. That means, are you living for you and your family's benefit first, or for the Lord and his kingdom benefit? Well, you got to deal with that. So we're going to pray at the end for an excellent spirit, because you want to get an attitude adjustment by the Holy Spirit. Now, where we get in trouble is when we put family before God. We basically send a message, God is not more important than you. God is not more important than your lifestyle. Is that an excellent spirit? No. All right, let's keep it going. I'll let you chew on that one. Don't choke on it, okay? All right, don't get mad at me. Everybody good? You must push off your past and get rid of your yesterdays. If you don't dump all the baggage, you'll be hopelessly sidetracked. And that's where the people who are in a constant state of drama and whirlwind of circumstances always can. Why? Because their focus is broken by distractions, and they're always deceived by the pulls of people around them. And God said, you're supposed to be looking at me. You're supposed to be putting me first. You run around chasing everything else and everybody else, and sometimes in the name of family, and then you come out and give God leftover warmed, leftover baked beans, dried out baked beans for service. And that's nasty. Those who honor me, I will honor you. He wants to see that you're going to give him your A game all the time. Come on now. You can't just whip it up and say, I got natural talent, or I got the experience or the education to make it happen. It doesn't, God doesn't look at your education and your experience. He looks at excellence. Excellence. Everybody say excellence. Excellence is first an attitude. It's the anointing. It is your all-around faithfulness. You got to believe in where you're headed in life and not where you used to be. Start praying for excellence. Cultivate an inner drive to pursue excellence with all your strength, determined to reach beyond your yesterday so you can take hold of your God-ordained tomorrows. Now we prepare for the call, the purpose, the plan of God with excellence. It takes preparation. We see in Acts 13, you don't have to turn there because of time. Acts 13, Paul and the other, at the time, Barnabas and Paul, prepared 13 years of preparation, in his case, for 33 years of ministry. Most people, we said, as quoting from Kenneth E. Hagin, most people live and die and never enter into the first phase of what God's called them to do. Remember, there is what? There is a calling, but then there is a qualification period and preparation period. He qualifies the call, but you got to follow his preparation plan. And preparation is never lost time. You don't get what you want in life. You get what you prepare for. The widow woman in Zarephath in 1 Kings 17, she wanted to live, but she was preparing to die because she told the man of God that me and my son going to gather up these sticks and I'm going to make one pancake and we're going to eat it and die. She was preparing to die. What are you preparing to do, ladies and gentlemen? Your preparation determines where you are going and what you are believing for. Because we said before, faith prepares. Faith gets ready. So if you're believing to get healed, you're preparing to get well. Your actions in the natural and your attitude in your mind is preparing to get better. Because I believe. I'm fully persuaded. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Everybody say it. Faith prepares and faith gets ready. It's because preparation is absolutely vital to your future, to our future success. Prepare to grow and increase. Prepare to expand. Prepare to sow. Prepare to reap. Prepare to pray and intercede. What are you doing today for tomorrow's? You know, if you don't sow preparation, you're not going to reap promotion. Like the great players in the NBA, you know, we all know and heard of Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson and some of these other guys, Larry Bird and Kobe Bryant. They're great, I mean, super superstars. What was the distinguishing characteristics? How they prepared for every game. Mentally, emotionally, physically. Come on now. They put in the time and put in the work in the weight room, in the gyms, and in the court practicing free throws and shots. Why? Because they wanted to be the best. We're the church of the living God. We're the people of God. You're the saints of the Most High God. We're living in such a wonderful time as this. How are we going to prepare for the usher in the last great move of God here on the earth? What is our preparation like? Are we fired up in our personal life to where we say, I've got to be in the flow and in the know, and I got to go up to another level? Let's look at Mark 10:45. We're going to go through these little statements and just let them soak into us. Mark 10:45. Y'all getting something out of this tonight? Okay, Mark 10:45. For whosoever desires to be first shall be slave of all. Why was Jesus so highly exalted? We see that in Philippians chapter 2. He humbled himself and became a slave. To who? To God. That means he didn't tell himself what to do. He allowed the Lord to tell him what to do. That's what basically the basic process of being under Jesus' lordship. You don't get to tell yourself what to do. You choose to let him choose. Jesus gets to tell me what to do. He is the big boss. He is Lord. Amen. So you talk to the Lord. Get your orders from the Lord. I carry out the orders from the Lord. He said, if you want to be great, you got to be a slave. If you want to go up, you got to go down. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Isn't that good? So we want to promote a phrase as we close, as we read these few statements here at the bottom, some principles for preparation for excellence, as an excellent minister. So an excellent minister is meaning you're giving people your best attitude, your best actions, your best attributes, your best anointing that God can pour through you. You're not going to sing unanointed. You're not going to serve unanointed. You're not going to speak unanointed. Everybody say, I'm an excellent minister. So that means you do things with excellence. It first starts with an attitude. So an excellent minister pursues the change that will prepare him for the future. You pursuing the change. That means this is an action item, ladies and gentlemen. What am I doing now to change, to grow, to get better? You pursue it. That means action. That means activity. That means actively moving forward. And then number two, an excellent minister chooses to dismantle his or her life in times when he or she can withstand the pain of change, because change equals pain. You can't stay the same. Like we said, today's excellence is tomorrow's mediocrity. Today's excellence is tomorrow's mediocrity. So if you keep doing things the same month after month after month, it's becoming mediocre. God's requiring us and calling us to step up, to step out, to move up. An excellence minister embraces short-term denial in order to create long-term benefits. So what do we do now? You know, let's just bring it down home. Give me the 8:15 signal, Tristan. Let's just bring it down home. Bring it down home. What are we doing now, short-term, to deny ourselves to prepare for long-term benefits? Now, you know, we're in transition. It's a season of transition, but I always, when I send out message, season of growth and a season of grace. There's grace for transition, but in transition, you never get lazy. Just because we're in a hotel doesn't mean you get lazy. We got to prepare to move into a better place with a better grace. That's the goal, right? But what are you doing to prepare? You can get really lackadaisical or nonchalant in a hotel because it gets comfortable. They got nice amenities and nice little small rooms and stuff, and you get so comfortable, you end up getting a small attitude or bad attitude, lazy attitudes, I should say. And remember what Jesus called that one talent servant, wicked and lawful. Amen. So everybody ought to be putting in the time and the work. Amen. Amen. What are you doing? So what are you embracing short-term? That means sometimes you might have to say, okay, I got to spend more time in prayer. I got to spend more time doing this. I get this done. An excellent man understands that lasting change requires rooting out yesterday's pain in order to experience relief from yesterday's memories. Old building's gone. We're out. Move on. Move up. An excellent minister builds his life on a firm foundation and lives life by his or her principles and not by his or her emotions. Like I told you when we were last in the building, I said, you shed a tear, but you can shed a tear, but don't cry in front of me. Because I'm not. We're moving on. We're moving forward. An excellent minister builds his or her life on a firm foundation. An excellent minister knows that the testing is required for promotion. So you, to pass the test, you got to have inward growth. Inward growth equals inward promotion. Inward growth equals outward promotion, I should say. Inward growth equals outward promotion. If you don't have inward promotion or outward promotion, there's no progress. You got to make progress on the inside before you see it on the outside. The first place is in your mind. Change the way you think. Change your outlook because your outlook determines your outcome. All right? And God will test your attitude sometimes. When somebody tells you, no, don't do it this way, do it this way. Are you going to get frumpy, upset? Especially, you know, like if I'm the pastor and I say, okay, let's do it. Let's change all this. Let's just change the chairs around. Don't get upset. God could be testing. I'm not saying I'm doing it. I'm just saying God be testing you. How are you going to respond to correction? How are you going to submit to direction? Do we do things without being under authority? You know, do you like this? Do you want to do this? Is this okay with you? You don't just do it. An excellent spirit says, I'm humble and I'm submissive. That means I ask. I check in with my head. Are you okay with this? Do you like this? What can we do better? Amen. I haven't had anybody ask me in a while. What can we do better? Well, praise the Lord. Passing the tests are a byproduct of our preparedness and our preparation. All right. So we'll stop right there. Let's stand.